We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It's good to have you listening on a Friday. We're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Look who just walked in.
Oh, my man. It's so good to see you. I just tweeted about him because I guess a day ago he announced that he is coming back to our radio station. And I'm so happy. I'm so excited for Mitch Evans.
Return of the Mitch. The legendary Mitch Evans is back.
Mitch Evans.
On WZGZ.
Yes.
So, yeah, man. And Mitch, by the way, before we get to the Falcon Report, Mitch just handed me a document, Carl, that says basically he has given me permission, again, allowed to imitate the voice of one Mr. Evans, whether live or on tape. So, an endless source of material for decades for moi.
That's great.
Mitch Evans back on 92.9 The Game. So, he'll be like a weekend six-man fill-in. You'll hear him. And, again, covering all your favorite sports. And we love Mitch and missed him while he was gone. And Mitch is back in the family.
Yeah, man. Good to see you, buddy. We're hanging out. We've got our Father's Day event going on tonight after we get done. So we'll be talking about that on Monday and telling you all about it. But, Mike, we got to talk about the Falcons, man. And we'll get to the Braves as they start a new series with the Pirates. Grant's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Here's the deal. We started the show and we were just saying, look, Kyle Pitts, okay, and this is not to love on him, hate on him, bang on him, however you might want to view this. We're just giving you his perspective. And it feels like the Falcons trust him. He feels like the Falcons trust him. And Kyle Pitts said, look, the positive is being tagged by the Falcons.
Right.
They didn't say, go test the market. We'll see what your value is.
Come back to us with lowball.
Correct. Right. We're going to go ahead and tag you, and this is where we're at. And he says that he feels like it's pretty cool to see the team feel that way. It's a new year. And he said, look, I'm not worried about it. Mike, he's talking about the future contract. Every year, guys, whether we want to talk about it in the NFL, you're playing for something. Every year. You have a crappy year, guess what? They're looking for a way to get out of your contract. You have a great year, they're looking for a way to say, all right, it's not time to pay you yet. Every year is a contract year. For Kyle, it's felt like the last 3 years. Let's go back three.
Right.
End of Arthur Smith to Raw.
Right.
To where we are now.
Remember, it was Desmond Ridder, and then it was, who was the backup? Yeah, him.
Mariota.
You know, Mariota started. That was the first year. But then you get back to, you know, and that was the knee injury. It really took Kyle Pitts two full seasons to recover.
It did.
From the knee injury. And it was something that Arthur Smith used to complain to us both on and off the record, if we can be honest, from the Ticketmaster Studios up at the Flowery Branch. But he drafted him. Our impression was that he was the driving force on getting Pitts. And whether Fontenot deferred to him, whatever. We know what the talent is. We know what the ability can be. We've seen it. When he plays the Buccaneers, he looks like all world. I mean, he literally looks that good, like Tony Gonzalez level.
Yep.
The thing that drives me crazy, and I said it earlier, and a lot of guys, I knew they were going to respond, Carl, because I asked Bryant McFadden, is it better for Kyle Pitts if Tua wins the job? Because he's a more established pro, and Bryant wouldn't take the bait. He said no, because there's still the more of the vertical passing game if ever, you know, we get these two guys together. Talk about Michael Penix Jr. The Indianapolis game in Berlin where the first play of the game could have been a touchdown to Pitts. He drops the ball. The New England game the week before, another, I think it was like a 35-yard game, Pitts drops the ball. You know, he's got to be on. If he can just dial in and focus, and maybe this the coaching staff, Carl, and we know there's more accountability because Bijan Robinson's talked about it, Drake London's talked about it, maybe they elevate his game. But it's got to come from the man in the mirror, right?
Yeah, look, it always starts, and I'll go back to when we drafted Kyle. I think there was some uncertainty about not his ability, but, you know, again, we get back, he was 20 years old, and you're being thrown into this, you were the highest drafted tight end in the history of the NFL. You better be good. Dude, I'm 20. Like, can I get adjusted? I don't even know where the hell I'm going to live. I don't know where I'm doing. And I feel like that growth process was delayed because of the way the franchise was, Mike. We were in flux, to be quite honest with you. We weren't good. We weren't bad. But we were trying to get over the hump. We didn't have a lot of money to spend. And I just think that, like, for Kyle, you said it, the injury is a reason why. I'm not going to say it's the sole reason, but it is a big reason why we didn't get the best of him for at least a season and a half.
But okay? His best – Kyle Pitts' best games came from Matt Ryan and
first
Kirk
year.
Cousins.
First year, yeah.
That's it. I mean, matter of fact, the best game that he's had as a Falcon, three touchdowns, Kirk Cousins. This was in December of last year when Kyle Pitts goes 11 of 12. Only one ball hit the ground that was targeted him with three touchdowns and 166
yards.
Okay,
so you want to know the irony to that? Rumor was that there were routes that he wasn't running correctly, which is why Kirk Cousins wasn't giving him the ball early on. You guys may not remember this, but we were like, why isn't Kirk using Kyle Pitts?
Not where he's supposed to be on the field.
So a lot has played into why he hasn't produced the way we think he should. 1,000 yards is great, but I always say this, like 1,000 yards or 10 touchdowns. What would you prefer?
Give me the red zone. The red zone
is
the dead zone. He should be a red zone god. The game, I want to say it was the Berlin game, where it makes Penix look awful because Penix gets sacked and he sees a blitz. It's like, why didn't Penix anticipate the blitz? He does. He audibles. Pitts doesn't catch the play. He throws to where Pitts is. It looks like Penix missed a guy by 10 yards.
Yep.
Because Pitts isn't where he's supposed to be.
Yeah. So, look.
And hopefully that changed. Hopefully there's more accountability, better coaching. But again, it all starts with Kyle Pitts.
It does. 404-726-0929. A couple of things from a guy that got his contract this week, Drake London. It won't kick in until next year. He's playing on his fifth-year option. But these are some of the things he's been talking about. And Mike mentioned accountability. We'll let you hear that. But here's Drake talking about Tua. And look, you tried to bait Brian McFadden today. Mm-hmm. I think Tua will look to him. But we also know this. Penix and Pitts have a great relationship. This goes back to last year, playing golf in the offseason, getting to know each other. First day of camp last year. I know, guys, you forget this. Michael Penix comes in and go, yeah, a lot of balls to eight today, huh? We're going to be doing a lot more of that.
Remember that?
And we got
first
all
thing
excited.
He said. First thing he said.
We were like, oh, crap, Michael Penix is going to be throwing the ball to Pitts. This is great. They have a really good relationship, and I think he wants him to be great. Here's what Drake said about Tua fitting in.
He's a great dude. Always got a smile on his face. Very, very chill. Throw up the shaka a little bit, and we get rolling. So, now he's a great dude, and him and MP are getting along very, very well, and both of them are just competing and working really hard together, and I love it.
That's MP is Michael Penix.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to hear anybody say anything different than Drake about Tua, but this is just getting back to, like, all right, is he doing the things he necessarily needs to do? According to Drake London, he is. And if I'm Drake London, look, I just want to be successful this year. And if it means Penix, great. If it means Tua, I don't know if he's cheering for one guy or the other right now.
Well, we asked Brian McFadden, is he a top five receiver? He said no. You know, and it's something that, you know, we know.
Not yet. Not yet.
Now, last year, as I said, it's two things going to be true. He missed some games. And we missed him in those games, but he also played in some games and wasn't even close to 100%.
Right.
Some other games where other wide receivers easily tap out. You know, it all works together. Without Mooney and Drake, I mean, Mooney wasn't out there, so they can double-team Drake. You know, and we know that Penix was struggling because Zach Robinson was in over his head as an OC. But I think this year, when you get some the key, I think it would be amazing. Can we have a guy – remember the first year they were together with Cousins? We only had two 1,000-yard receivers. Darnell Mooney was just that concussion protocol last game away, but we're having two 1,000-yard receivers. That doesn't grow on trees.
No, it doesn't.
You know, so that's something where that was good, and then last year was bad, and some ugly too. But first things first, I can't wait to see how Zachariah Branch – don't even know what Jahan – I mean, no disrespect to Jahan Dotson. I'm more excited about Zachariah Branch.
Well, that's because you've watched him. I mean, we haven't seen –
I don't know what Dotson – I haven't seen Dotson in years.
You hadn't watched Jahan Dotson to have an opinion one way or the other, and that's fair. I mean, dog fans, you saw Zachariah Branch, whether you thought it was used the right way or not, you feel some kind of way about it. Let me hear Drake London talk about Stefanski and his accountability, because I think, again, this is something we'll be talking about all season long.
So far, he's doing his thing, and he just brings, you know, accountability and honestly just pushing us to be the best that we can be right now. You know, we're never complacent, and I think that's the big motto right now, is just never be complacent at all and just keep on pushing forward and striving for greatness. And that's what he's kind of implementing it in, like, probably the most chillest way ever. But at the same time, he's like, we're about business, and I love it.
Is it always the same guy lifting in the background?
It feels that way. I want to know who it is. I want to know who's back there pumping iron. He says in the chillest way ever. That's kind of interesting. That's some insight into Kevin Stefanski's personality, isn't it? Like,
right.
When he talks about, you know, pushing guys and, hey, this is what we're going to be doing, but also in a way where guys vibe with it, I think that's important. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, just chopping it up about what Pitts basically said and the fact that he's very comfortable that the Falcons franchise tagged him. And I said to Mike, you know, most guys who get franchise tagged, and I think they have until, like, July 15th to get a new, you know, long-term deal done, if they were working on it and they wanted to do it.
No reason to.
No reason to. There is no reason to.
I had a guy hit us up on Twitter, follow us. Carlos, put him up, C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell. ATL. A guy hit me up and he said, they goes, you know, they can still trade him.
Who, Pitts?
Pitts. I'm like, I don't think that's happening. I don't think
they could because there's salary control.
Yeah, but yes. I don't think that, you know, Austin Hooper is ready to fill that void. You know, and I still think they want to kick the tires on him because if he balls out, the worst case scenario is he kicks ass and you can't find come to a contract. You tag him again.
Yeah,
you not could. Great for him, but could be good for us.
Well, let me ask you guys this: if that's what you think potentially, you don't give up on playmakers. We don't have enough of them to begin with. We haven't had enough playmakers. Like okay, Bijan, yeah, great, Drake. Where again? I ask the question: are the explosive plays down the field?
Right.
So. I'm not willing to – and again, if you're going to trade him, what are we getting in return? What do you feel like needs right now that gets you over the top if you're going to give up on a young playmaker in Kyle Pitts? The age played a role, guys, in why they decided to keep him and franchise tag him.
Right. No, and that's the thing. I mean, and he just mentioned – he happened to choose the Ravens, and I'm like, okay.
What are we getting? Well, that's, Lamar Jackson?
That's, no. We're not.
I mean, seriously.
No, and I don't think they're going to trade Travis Jones or any of their nose tackles or defensive linemen.
Yeah, it's not happening.
You know, so that's – again, guys, I appreciate the thought, but they want to kick the tires. I think there's a feeling that they don't necessarily fully believe in him, but there's a lot they like about Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
Ergo, let's tag him and see how he fits in a tight end – driven offense, or certainly tight ends have had success at Kevin Stefanski's offense.
That's fair. I don't disagree with that. You guys can hit us up. Tell us what you think. By the way, you are listening to Atlanta's radio home of comprehensive World Cup coverage, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, from now through the end of the tournament. Jason Longshore is going to be doing special editions of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason will be covering all the major storylines with previews and analysis of every match all the way through the final. That's going to be on July 19th. It's brought to by Ford, visit your local Ford dealer, and by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore every night from now through July 19th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming back. We'll talk to Grant. Pirates in town. We're looking for another series win. It's Dukes and Bell.
And you can always upgrade that. What I've done. And a special event next weekend at D. Geller & Son. It's called Watches and Whiskey. June 12th and 13th, Swiss timepieces and complimentary whiskey pairings. That sounds like my kind of party. Get the details right now at dgeller.com.
Event in the world starts this Thursday, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game wants you to be a part of it with our opening day match day parties. They are brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Join us, Dukes and Bell, this Thursday. That's coming up next week, obviously, guys, from 2 to 6 for a match day party at the Twisted Oar on Lake Lanier Parkway in Gainesville. That's where we're going to be. 6 to 10. The party keeps going with Chris Thomas, okay, after we get done at the Branch House Tavern in Gainesville. At both locations, Michelob Ultra is giving you a chance to win tickets to the upcoming match in Atlanta. It's all brought to you by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. That's all this Thursday with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's say good afternoon to our man Grant McCauley. And Grant, of course, host of From the Diamond. Last night, Grant, your impressions of what you saw from Chris Sale, because that was not the Chris Sale we have become accustomed to.
It really just came down to that one inning where it seemed like stuff spiraled a bit on him. Yeah, he got BABIP to death, if that's the baseball term for it, that batting average on balls in play. For Chris Sale on all those hits, it added up to 188. But when you looked out there, they were piling up runs and they were able to take a lead. And it was still a close game until the bullpen kind of faltered there late and let him get some add-on runs. But overall, I don't know that I took a lot out of it other than he just, I think, wishes that he could have that one inning back.
And it's interesting, Grant, I know you talked about it on your social media, and it was reported that he really was gutting after it. Over 98 miles an hour, some of the biggest velocity we've seen from Chris Sale going back to 2018. So I thought he was very candid. We played the soundbite earlier in the show. It's almost like Spencer Strider-like talking about the things he's got to work on, and maybe with a little bit of an extended break, he can work on some of these things between starts.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that this rest in between starts is not a bad thing for Chris Sale. It's kind of that maintenance that the Braves were able to give him in 2024, and were giving him last year, and then obviously he missed a whole chunk of time, so that kind of changed the dynamics, and we don't have to get into what 2025 wasn't for the Braves, but if you're going to do the things you want to do this year, you need big things from Chris Sale. We've seen that for the most part. Every once in a while, he's going to have a start where it's just not all there, it's not working for him, and you know, he's not going to be able to do the things he wants to. But if yesterday was the worst version of Chris Sale that we see, more times than not, it still kept the Braves in the ballgame. So I guess it's all relative in the end.
Grant McCauley, our guest, guys. The crazy thing is, if I told you that the Pirates are fourth in the league with 325 runs this season, the Braves are third with 329. Guys, both of these offenses going into the weekend are humming right now. Grant, do you expect that to continue?
I think it could. And, I mean, it's going to be an interesting challenge with the Pirates, you know, far and beyond above what we've seen the past few years, because this has been a team that's been very incomplete, that has been, you know, very slow to add pieces that it needs. And, honestly, they haven't really gotten much, if anything, out of Marcell Ozuna, but they've gotten a lot out of Brandon Lau, among others. And I think that this is a club that has been able to build some, you know, exciting young pitching led by Paul Skeens. And we're not going to see him in this series, but that doesn't hurt when you've got the ace of your staff and have a staff ace, which the Pirates didn't have for a number of years. And they've just kind of been able to put some of these pieces together, and finally it's led to a 2026 where you're starting to see what it could be there. Now, will it continue to be? I don't know what the answer to that's going to be, but a much improved team from the run scoring perspective, and a team that's got some decent pitching as well. And I think you look at the NL Central, and there's really not a case to be made against the Pirates right now. And right. I think all they're trying to do is hang around, stay there, and if they're in the wild card hunt as well, I think it for every club, you can look at that room and say, why not us? And if you can go out and get a couple of pieces, it could make a big difference for them. But overall, yeah, I would expect, as we've seen with the Washington Nationals, that you look at those run columns, they're able to score runs. That's a very real, a clear and present danger, Mike.
Hey, man, again, I always feel so bad for the Pirates. I think, Grant, you've been there and Carl's been there. It's just one of the great ballparks. It's one of you know, great traditions. My childhood, you're thinking like We Are Family and Stargell Stars and Dave Parker and those teams. And other than, you know, losing to the Braves 2 years, I mean, they've been nothing. Save for maybe, what was it, Carl? Clint Hurdle took him to the playoffs once.
Yes, he did.
Like in the last 20 years. Hey, what's Martin Perez going to give tonight? His last three starts, he has made it through five.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where Martin Perez, kind of the, I don't want to say the point of no return is, but the point that you want to get him to, and then you're probably comfortable with your bullpen doing a lot of the other work for him, is just getting you through that five innings. He's more than not been able to get kind of right on that cusp, but I also think that there have been a couple of those where Walt has just looked at it and said, it would be better, based on how many times he's gone through the order, for us to go ahead and go to a reliever to get us a better look, a better matchup, than trying to gut out Martin Perez going a third full-time through the lineup. So if you get two full turns and a little bit more from Martin Perez, I think you're comfortable with that. Beyond that, it's kind of like the old football term, the game manager is what you're asking him to do. Keep it close, right. Keep it competitive. He's done that very well this year, and he's been kind of a nice little glue piece in rotation or bullpen, and even when you've had to bump him off the roster a couple of times and then bring him back, he's really filled some holes that the Braves have had in their pitching staff due to the injuries and some of the other inconsistencies we've seen.
Have we found a permanent home for Michael Money Harris? What I mean is, he's hitting in the number two hole. His last seven games, Grant, he's batting .321, one homer, five RBI. We've talked about Walt Weiss's ability to change the lineup, and it's been great. He's been flexible. But is this where he should be hitting?
I think it's where he should be hitting for right now. But I think once you get Drake Baldwin back, you've got a real debate. And it's a good debate because then all of a sudden you can deploy one of the others in the middle of the order and use them as a run producer. But if I were to really look at where the Braves were when their lineup was humming along earlier this year, Harris was hitting somewhere in that middle portion of the order and really was coming on and putting things together, and you had Baldwin at two. So I'm probably more inclined to say that Drake Baldwin is the guy that you want it to, but if he ends up hitting fourth, or Michael Harris ends up hitting fourth or fifth, or however this whole thing shakes out, what you're looking at is a very capable top of the order when you got Ronald Acuña Jr. going, whoever you choose at two, Olsen at three, and then whoever you choose at four and five between Ozzie Albies, Drake Baldwin, or Michael Harris, then you want to start to see some of those other pieces of the lineup start to click again, and hopefully those will as the summer months heat up.
All right, it wouldn't be a wrap with Grant without me asking about Austin Riley again. right now, 1-for-10 and for this homestand against Toronto. So again, why
you got to bring that up?
Well, the good news now, Grant. We did not. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but Carl and I said the good thing is for Braves fans, no one's complaining about it because we are where we are. But imagine if he gets to where he needs to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I did talk about that on the show with regards to both Austin and Ronald, and we've seen Ronald start to swing the bat well and what that could do for this team, but we haven't seen it from Austin Riley. We haven't seen the consistency. I think we've seen some better swings at times from him, but there have also been some games where it just looks like he's somewhere, as we talked about probably a month or more ago, caught in between two different approaches, where it's you want to work counts, but you also don't want to miss your pitches, and I think that that's been a lot of what he's dealt with this year. I think that the bat speed is there, and as I've talked about time and time and time again, it feels like only a matter of time until he's able to turn that corner. But I do think that there is some, you know, impatience that's going to grow over time as he's not able to get that to that level, and it has been a while since he's been able to really go on an extended hot streak and just kind of remind you of how good he can be. But I firmly believe that that's in there. If you're doing this well without him, think about what you can do with him is probably the approach to look at right now with Austin Riley, because I think he's going to be a valuable, valuable piece for the Braves, not just in 2026, but over the life of that contract, which runs through the year 2032. So he's got to get this figured out, but it's been a rough couple of months to start the year.
All right, Grant, when are you on this weekend, by the way?
I'll be on Sunday from 5 to 7 from the Diamond here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I had a long conversation with David Justice on Tuesday. I'm really excited to share that. A lot of his great memories of the 95 series, the home run, worst to first in 91, establishing himself in the big leagues under the watchful eye of Bobby Cox. Some really, really great reflections from David Justice. So I'll be sharing that. I also got to catch up with Dominic Smith and kind of get an idea of what his first couple of months in a Braves uniform have been like, and kind of hear a little bit more of what's been going on for him and what's been going right for him more appropriately at the plate, as he's been a nice surprise for the Braves. So both those conversations, a lot of talk about the weekend series and what's coming up for the Braves as well. It's from the Diamond, Sunday 5 to 7, and wherever you get your podcast and the Odyssey app.
Is Dave Justice still upset?
Is he still upset?
Yeah, is his general feelings. I'm just going back now. You got me curious because I want to check this out on Sunday and hear it. But I'm Yeah, and I will. But I'm just curious, like, how he feels about the organization. Where is he at now? Has he let everything go?
He loves his connection to the Braves, to Braves fans, and his place in Braves history. And I think that when you looked at 95 in particular, he was upset with the fans just not giving that extra – degree of intensity that they saw and they experienced in Cleveland. Keep in mind, Cleveland was starved for a playoff and a World Series team.
Right.
For the Braves, it was starting to feel old hat, and that was kind of the machine he was raging against at that time. But since then, he's been back. He's in the Club Hall of Fame. He enjoys coming back, getting involved. I've loved catching up with him at spring trainings when he's been in as a special instructor. I'll be honest, he's one of my favorite people in baseball to talk to, because David Justice has a swagger, but he genuinely is comfortable with who he is and tells it like it is, and it's very fun to hear guys like that reflect on their career and tell those great stories. And I got quite a few of them from David this past week.
Right.
Awesome.
Including getting free Coca-Cola from the A's.
Awesome. All right.
Remember Moneyball?
That's right. That's going to happen Sunday from the Diamond. All right, Grant, man, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we can win another series here against this Pirates team that's scoring a lot of runs. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mike. We'll get you those peanut M&Ms.
But that's the thing, and it's funny, you talked, and we also talked about, I think we talked about the labor issues earlier this week.
We did.
Tony Gwynn Jr., there was a disconnect with baseball fans and the 95, even when the Braves were winning that World Series, there were some empty seats, and that was all around baseball. But the Cleveland Indians, they hadn't been there in decades.
No.
You know, was a different dynamic. And had we not gotten screwed by Eric Gregg, with had a rematch with the Indians, probably would have beaten them in 97. That team was so loaded.
It was loaded.
But 95, David, just saying, let's go, fans. Let's get it together. Bring some noise.
Yeah, man. I was, I know he's talked about it, but I was curious if he still felt some kind of way. Interesting stuff there. You can listen this weekend and check it out from Grant. All right, coming up. NBA Finals Game 2 tonight. We got some stuff to get to.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out real quick before I forget. We got our parents are showing up with their kids and some older parents with their adult kids for our big Father's Day contest winners here for the dinner tonight at Twin Peaks. Shout-out to Jackson and his dad, Jason Carl. They drove over 2.5 hours of traffic
way
from north of Gainesville down 985. And I just posted the photo, a great picture. The kid's got a T-shirt that says, "I love boobies."
That's
with the birds.
Wait,
it's the birds.
He does not.
Yes, Jackson, show Carl the shirt.
He does not.
Yes, yeah, and I said on Twitter, our kind of people.
Love it.
People really win with Dukes and Bell and 92.9 The Game.
That's awesome, guys. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. We're going to have a good time. That's coming up. But when we come back, it's a must win tonight. It's Dukes and Bell. Came over and introduced himself to us. What did he just tell you?
Apparently, he is accusing me of jumping over the turnstiles.
Accusing?
At MARTA in Midtown. That's ridiculous.
Is this not true?
When those crappy breeze cards didn't work, maybe once or twice jumped it. I didn't break the new glass, though. I said, you can't put that one on me.
He came in and said, yeah, I used to watch you jump the rails. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Hey, man, tonight we get game two of the NBA Finals. We're live at Twin Peaks, guys. And thanks for all of our listeners coming out, hanging out with us. And as always, it's always a good time and a great opportunity to get a chance to catch up with you guys. But tonight, Mike, first and foremost, what do you expect to happen? You think the Spurs respond? You think this is a tie series? Because if the Knicks go up 2-0, I'm telling you guys, this is a wrap. It's done.
It's funny. Some of the guys I went to high school with were listening online earlier, and they're like, Coach Sam Mitch is all over the Knicks. You know, and guys like my buddy Rocco, I heard the coach. They can't. Wemby's all hype. No, Wemby's not all hype. He's a little gassed because they went 7 games, and they got to evolve a little bit. But you said it. Their coach has got to figure this out. Maybe he's talking to Pop. I mean, look, with all due respect, Pop's a legend. He didn't look so good the other night in the suite. He's like, he's getting up there, Carl.
He is.
But I wonder what kind of take Pop would have on how you approach the Knicks, because they're so big, they're so physical. One of the things we said during our series, there's nobody – we don't have an Ananobi on the Hawks, and I know Bridges got a lot of heat, but he's certainly coming to his own. Hart is a great defender. And then Cat is a guy, and if his head is on straight and he's bringing the intensity, then he can give Wemby all sorts of trouble. So I'm curious, do you keep Wemby on the perimeter? Because Sam Mitchell basically said you can't bring him inside.
Yeah, I just feel like, and I said this yesterday, Mike, when you were out, the perception is because Wemby's 7'5", he's a center. He isn't. He really is a stretch four because he's out there shooting threes and wanting to take people to the basket. You've seen his handles.
So he's a taller Durant? Is that what you're telling me?
He really is. And Durant isn't in there banging with big guys. Neither should Wemby. He is 207, 210 at the most.
Right.
All these guys, right, are way bigger body-wise. I'm not talking about height. Right. And, Mike, if I'm putting my 250, 260, 270 on you for 7 games.
Wears you down.
It wears you out.
And if you look at Holmgren and Hartenstein, they're skinny too.
Yes. So I just feel like.
But that's about the previous series against OKC.
Yeah, but you've got to find a way. And it's like a misconception because he is the tallest guy. You go, man. But he can do things that all these stretch fours can do. And that's what makes him so versatile. I just feel like that's part of this issue too. He's not going to be down there banging with Mitchell Robinson, either with Cat or anybody, or any of their bigs that they're going to put in. Here's what's interesting, though, guys, and this is where we got to put some respect on his name. Jalen Brunson wins the championship. He's the best free agent acquisition in the history of the league. Here's what Charles Barkley said about that.
I said this a few years ago, I think Brunson might turn out to be the greatest free agent signing. I'm not talking about LeBron and Kevin Durant and guys like that, but I think Brunson – if he's able to deliver a championship to New York, it'll be the greatest free agent signing in NBA history. There's nobody knew he was going to be this good. I didn't. You guys. Nobody. No. When New York signed him, they didn't think he was going to be this good. He's turned them into a perennial contender. They went from being never being talked about to the conference finals last year. Now they're in the finals because of Brunson. So if he's able to finish this journey, Mike, it would be the greatest free agent sign in NBA history.
I don't disagree.
I mean, I said to Carl earlier that probably the only other free agent signing that would be bigger in New York is Mark Messier.
Okay.
And you were specifically brought in to end a 54-year drought.
An assassin.
You know, and win a Stanley Cup, which he did. And as we said, you know, it's funny. Think about where we were talking to analysts earlier and all our NBA guys. We had Brian Gelsaler on going, you know, I'll tell you, the problem with Brunson is his dad's on the coaching staff. He runs the show. And then Mike Brown had the presence of mind to say, look, the Hawks are going right at him. We got to pivot to Cat. And ever since we kind of challenged them, if they've been off and running, then all the other things kind of played. And look, the Celtics, would they have ever given them a seven-game series? I don't know. You never got a chance because, you know, let's be honest, Carl, they blew it against the Sixers.
Yeah, not without a healthy Tatum.
If Tatum's healthy, right.
That was the one caveat in that whole ordeal. Speaking of Jalen Brunson, here's what he said about the team's resiliency to come back. Guys, they were down 14 the other night. And they came back. Spurs.
Remember, he's in the locker room. He's getting taped up and shot up.
Yes. Ankle, knee. Here's Brunson.
I don't want to say calmness, but I think we know what we have to do. I think we're a pretty together group. Be able to trust each other and still just continue to fight, have each other's back, and just know that we got to keep chipping away. It's just a credit to the mentality we have as a team. But, I mean, we can't just be satisfied with that. We have a long way to go. We have a lot of things we can do to be better. But I'm happy we came with a win.
Look, when he went to New York, the story was he was Luka's sidekick. He was only good because Luka made him good.
Right.
He was not a max player, which he is. He was not a all-star, which he is. He was not an all-NBA guy, which he is. The thing that he's done, and this is why I agree with Chuck on this, is he's gone to the biggest market, Mike, in New York, and he's proven to everybody that he's all the things that everybody said he wasn't when he left Dallas. He was not a superstar. He was not a brand name.
Yeah.
And now he is. And so in the biggest moment, the other night he had 30 points, and we talked about, you know, the fact he didn't shoot the ball well. Guys, Jalen Brunson's not going to be 2-for-9 from three-point line tonight or any other game in this series.
And the other thing about the Knicks, they won that game despite having almost like 15 minutes of just – like a Chinese fire drill where they just looked so disoriented in the way they were pushing the tempo. Because I think the mindset, maybe you agree or you disagree, Carl, it's like, let's get down the court before Wemby gets set, you know, on the defensive side. So they were rushing so many shots, and it was just like clanging things off the glass, and none of the looks were quality. So it's like once they got into a bit of a rhythm, and so shame certainly on the Knicks for letting the Spurs go on an 11-3 run with Wemby was on the bench. So everything was really in the Spurs side of the ledger, and they kind of let the Knicks wriggle off the hook. The floater was something, but the three-point shot, especially with the night he was having,
huge.
To hit that was just mind-blowing.
Well, it was ballsy, too.
He's got the nuggets to take the shot.
I'm not hitting. I've hit one three-pointer tonight. I'm going to take the
with
shot.
With the Spurs bench right over your shoulder, too, by the way.
Here's Wemby, by the way, saying, I'm not worried.
Okay.
We've been down in a series before, never in the finals, obviously. But I'm not kicking myself about anything, really. I mean, I'm not worried the slightest.
Should he be? Yeah, I think he should be worried. I think he should be because this is the best team that they've seen. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey,
as we're talking NBA Finals.
Spurs are a 6.5-point favorite.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot.
Oh, Mitch Evans just said, I'd take that for a dollar. I'd buy that action.
It's a lot.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get it back, man. Damn, ref screwed me on the disallowed goal for the – but enough about me. Had some heavy loot on
them. Total degenerate when you start blaming the refs.
I had some wood. I had some wood on the Knights. They never should have gone to overtime. Never should have. The tying goal would have been the Carolina guys tying the score. But I digress. I love the Knicks getting 6.5.
I do too. It's
by the hook, Mitch. Mitch says, talk to your guy. By the hook. Take it to 7.
Here's the reason why. If the Knicks keep it close, which I think they will, and this is how they're probably playing this tonight, Mike, I'm not going to go kill myself to win game two. Don't misunderstand me. They want to win. But they also know they get two games at home.
Right.
You've already stole a game. Keep tonight close, And if these guys don't finish in the fourth quarter and we're able to, now we're up 2-0, that's why I think 6.5. This is not going to be a double-digit blowout.
No, you're going to be going to the Garden, which is going to mean – I just wonder, do people who spend $10,000 to sit 600 feet from the court have bring some Valentine? I mean, I would like to think that's not all Wall Street, you know, D-bags, and some real passionate fans are going to bring that home court if you're a Knicks fan. But a buddy of mine listening, our buddy Reese from FAMU goes, hey, man, I'm jumping all over the Knicks tonight. And he goes, here at the Sam conversation, Sam Mitchell loves the Knicks and loves where they're going. But you're right. I mean, this is like a must win for the Spurs all of a sudden because the Knicks have already stolen home court.
One other thing from Wimby, here he is talking about the fact that he owned it. He was not good the other night, 6 of 21. He had 26 points, but as we like to say, it's a quiet 26. It wasn't an emphatic 26 where you're like, man, he's dominating.
What'd you say? He was 2 for 12 when Cat was D'ing him up?
That's right. Primary defender. So, you know, he's got to go at Cat more. We'll see if that happens tonight. Here's Wimby talking about his performance in game one.
Every team guards differently, you know. I'm going to figure it out. It's, I was bad tonight. It's not more complicated than that.
He ain't lying. I mean, it wasn't solely his fault. But your best player has to be your best player. Brunson was their best player when he needed to be. That fundamentally is the difference. When you're within striking range, 6-8 points, 3 minutes to play, what are you doing? And he didn't get it done.
I know that, we've talked earlier with Steve Koonin with the Hawks, and, you know, he's not going to tell us because he can't. You know, you can't talk about other players on a roster. But Steve's like, free agency is just not what you think it is.
It's not a reference.
Steve, by the way, apparently was being hijacked by an Uber driver.
Yes, he was.
He was on his phone. We sounded like Steve was calling. We traced the phone call. He's in the trunk. But, no, Steve was having a bad drive apparently today. But, Steve, we'll have to wait and see. But to add that kind of physicality and the size that the Knicks have, it's going to cost some money. You know, and all those guys, teams aren't going to give those guys up if they're available, if they're restricted free agents, to Steve's point.
Yeah, look.
And you can't draft that because it's going to take 5 years to evolve.
No, I respect Steve's opinion on that, but I will respectfully disagree because when you talk about free agents, he's talking about, you know, these restricted free agents. When you start throwing out all these names and teams can put a deal out of the table.
Like a Walker Kessler or Chet Holmgren or Hartenstein.
Those guys are harder to get. There's no debating that. But when you're talking about just a flat-out free agent, it's a bidding war, what teams covet that guy's services. And if you want that individual or his services bad enough, Mike, you go get them.
I don't think there's a free agent market. And that's why I kept saying Mitchell Robinson would be a nice piece for us if we draft a big.
Yes.
It's a nice tandem. You know, or a Vucevic. If you want to go cheap, an older guy like Vucevic, you know, there's other options for us. But we'll see.
Yeah. All right, man. We are getting ready to get out of here. We're going to celebrate our Father's Day dinner tonight here at Twin Peaks with all of our wonderful listeners.
And we got folks, and we do appreciate the listeners. Some guys, they drove all the way from, like, north of Gainesville. These guys, I always love, Carl, when I drive down.
Wow.
The Smar exit. These guys are from the Smar exit near Macon.
Oh, wow.
That's right. Unlimited power.
Yes,
the
sir.
Big antenna. We got cats from Macon. All four quarters of our audience are here today.
That's terrific. All right, man. We'll tell you more about it. Hello. We're going to tell you more about it come Monday and talk about this wonderful dinner and all the things that come out of it. We are also going to talk about this great weekend, including the Braves. Hopefully we're able to win another series. Hey, man, stay tuned. Turtle's got you covered. He's got a full 4 hours, but we got to get out of here. Day-Day, let's clear our throat. Hey, thanks to all of our guests today. BMAC, Brian McFadden, Steve Koonin joining us. BMAC also, Mike, talking about some interesting things around the NFL. If you missed any of the interviews, guys, go online at Odyssey.com. Coach of the Year, Sam Mitchell, and our buddy Grant McCauley. Again, subscribe and like the content. That way you get all the breaking news and all of the Dukes and Bell content on a daily basis. All right, man, have a great weekend. It's great to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station and its number one sports show. We got to get out of here. Commissioner Gordon, G Money, thanks for being our on-site engineer. Day-Day, great job all week with O off back at the studio. We got to roll, Mike. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, we played that soundbite earlier, and I got a little misty hearing Ned Jarrett calling his son Dale Jarrett, winning his first Daytona 500 victory. And it goes back to the chemistry in a broadcast team. Can't manufacture it, whether it's the TNT guys or even something which maybe is niche as NASCAR, but they had it. No disrespect to Darryl Waltrip. Boogity, boogity, boogity. I never liked you. It's too much. I'm sorry, Trick Ticker. I never liked Darryl Waltrip. I love Ned Jarrett. I love Benny Parsons. They were likable guys. They knew the show was on four wheels. You're not the show. Anyway, rest in peace, Ned Jarrett, a champion and an amazing man and a wonderful ambassador for NASCAR who passed away today.
I'm looking forward to speaking with all of our listeners here, but more importantly, Mike, I'm looking forward to talking history with Abe's father. I can't wait. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you also never expected the Spanish Inquisition.